Our New Testament reading, epistle reading, is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now turning to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, we'll have our gospel lesson. Jesus at this point has just been baptized by John the Baptist. As you recall, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, God confirmed who Jesus was, and the Trinity of God, the three in one nature of God, was confirmed to us. God said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And so we had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all present and accounted for in the baptism of Christ. As Jesus departed from there, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, that's where he was baptized, and led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, 40 days is a significant time in the Bible. We know that it rained for 40 days before when the ark was with Noah and his family enough water had rained on the earth that the ark began to float, and it continued raining until 40 days were up. We know that Jesus here is 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. We know that after Jesus is raised from the dead after Easter, it was 40 days spent here on earth before he was taken up bodily into heaven. And we began last Sunday our 40 days plus the 6 Sundays of Lent period, remembering this time. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by, turned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during these days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, And I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written," as you recall the scripture that we read in the Old Testament that was read earlier, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered them, "It says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And this is the word of our Lord. There's a great deal written about this scripture, about this 40 days of temptation. But really, most of what you read in commentaries and Bible studies is about the three temptations that we just read at the end. But don't you recall, it opens up and it says, "He was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." It doesn't say he spent 40 days in the desert, at the end of which he was tempted by the devil. It says for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Why would God lead his very son into a period of temptation? There's many reasons, possible reasons for that. Why would God lead his son, who his son was God, to be baptized? Did Jesus Christ need to be forgiven for his sin? Did he need to repent? Did he need to be baptized? Only conclusion that I can come to is to look to other scripture to help me to understand this mystery. You know, when we try to understand the Bible, the only place we can look is not to commentaries, is while they're helpful and can guide us to these things, and not to what other people say about it, although they can be helpful and guide us to these places, but to look to scripture to guide us. We know that a few weeks ago we looked at the scripture about the death of Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. His sisters Martha and Mary and Lazarus were very dear to Jesus, and yet Jesus lingered for days to allow time to make sure that Lazarus was dead and in the tomb before he went there. And Jesus told his disciples why he did it. He said, "I'm doing this so that you will believe." The blind man was made blind from his very birth. And that we know that he was an adult because his parents said, "He's a grown man, ask him." The blind man was made blind from birth, and they asked Jesus, why was he made birth? Was it his sin or his parents? Jesus said, no, he was made blind so that God might be glorified. Jesus went into the desert for a couple reasons, to be tempted. Is Jesus God? Yes. Jesus is fully God. But is Jesus man? Yes. Jesus is fully man. So we can know that Jesus went into the desert so that the Jesus fully man would be tempted as well. We know that Jesus, as fully man, went through the same kind of trials and temptations that you did. But we can know that God did this to him as a preparation for his ministry, but we know from the other scripture I just referred to that God did this to him for you and for me, so that we can believe, so that we can understand that Jesus went through temptations, and you and I will surely go through temptation. And the devil didn't just tempt him at the three temptations that are documented at the end. It says for 40 days the devil tempted him. And so we can know that we will deal with temptations on a daily basis, not just at times of great note. Jesus was offered bread by the devil. And Jesus was fully God. He didn't need the devil to give him bread. So we can logically say that was an easy one to give up. But Jesus was fully man and had not eaten for 40 days. And the devil wasn't saying that through me I can make this bread for you, these stones turn into bread. He said to Jesus, you turn the stones into bread. The devil wasn't offering him bread. The devil was offering him the opportunity to demonstrate his power through God. The power that Jesus had. He was offering him to display his power. Jesus didn't do it because it would be doing it for himself. Jesus said he did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus, the blind man, was not made blind to benefit the blind man. The blind man was made blind to give glory to God. So Jesus allowed this to happen for the glory of God. He healed him so that God may be glory. Jesus used his power for the glory of God. Turning the stone into bread would not have been for the glory of God. It would have been for himself. And so Jesus didn't do it. It's a good guidance for me, for you, as we look and understand what are the things that we should do and what are the things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we have choices. They're hard choices. We have to make decisions. And so one of the criteria that we can use to make decisions is, will it bring glory to God? Or will it bring fame to us? Or will it bring fortune to us? Or will it bring glory to us? God forbid. One of the reasons that we as Presbyterians hesitate to the extreme to clap for people, even young people, when they perform music in the church or do great things, is that we are very, very, our tradition is very, very mindful that we need to do things for the glory of God and not for the individual. And so sometimes it takes us to the extreme to be hesitant to clap for people and give them encouragement for things that they have done for the glory of God, not for the entertainment or not to be famous or not to be recognized. And so when we clap for them, we need to clap for them in the spirit of Christian love, feeling very comfortable doing so, that we are encouraging them to give glory to God through music, through word, through whatever they're doing in the church. That's why they call us sometimes the frozen chosen, because we'll sit there and wait for somebody else to start the clapping so we know it's okay. It's okay to clap for somebody in church. They're doing it for the glory of God. We want to encourage them. We want to praise them. Jesus was tempted in the desert. How many of you have ever fasted for 3 days? Yeah, okay. It's been the only effective way I ever keep any control of weight at all, is to just not eat for a few days. Okay. It doesn't bring it down to nothing, but if I couple it with running 60 miles a week, I can get down to about 178. So, I'm not running 3 days a week anymore. I mean, 6 days a week and 60 miles a week. I don't do that. But fasting, when you fast, you realize constantly that something is missing. There's something missing. So one of the reasons that every Easter we talk about this scripture of Jesus being in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights is because he's fasting in the desert. And fasting has a long, long tradition in worship to God. And one of the reasons that we fast is we understand that something is missing, that there's something we need. And no matter how devout a Christian you are or believe yourself to be, no matter how close you feel yourself to God, you can get closer. You can have a better relationship with God. And one of the values of fasting, or doing without that favorite treat, or doing without that favorite meal, or doing without that favorite thing that makes you feel good on a regular basis, one of the reasons for fasting or doing without during the period of Lent, to remind us that something is missing in our lives. And that something that's missing is just a closer walk with Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Okay. Savior, that is my plea. Just a closer walk with Thee. One of the reasons that we fast is to remind us that there are things that are very, very important to life itself. We cannot be alive in Christ without a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, and we need to strive every day. Paul, even at the end of his 40 years of preaching and ministering and teaching and healing, even at the end of his 40 years, was seeking a closer relationship with Christ. Jesus, fasting in the desert, surely was the human Jesus, was seeking a closer relationship with God. Fasting, being tested. Every day we pray the Lord's Prayer and we say, lead us not into temptation. Jesus taught us that prayer. Jesus gave us that prayer. Do you think maybe Jesus knew that we would be tempted? Now you and I are unlikely, while not impossible, it is unlikely that the devil will ever come and personally tempt you or I. One thing we need to understand about the devil is the devil, unlike God, meaning Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God Almighty, unlike God, the devil, according to the Bible, does not have omnipresence. He cannot be present at two places at the same time. So to think that the devil, or that I can use as an excuse that the devil has decided to pick on Bill Barnett today, is self-serving, not likely to be true, okay? It's not impossible, but it's not very likely to be true, because the devil can only be at one place at one time, and I would be thinking myself way too worthy of recognition and acknowledgement if I thought that the devil was picking me out. Now, We do know that the devil does have spirits, the devil does have helpers, and does lead lead many spirits. We know because when Jesus called them out when the spirits were in the man who was within the tombs before Jesus sent them out to live in the swine, they said, "Our name is Legion, for we are many." And so we know that in the Greek and Hebrew language, legion meant a great number. So Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted, because God, in his wisdom, knew that Jesus, the man, the fully man, needed to be tempted to prepare him to deal with those things that he would have to deal with. Can you think of any ways that Jesus was tempted after this time by the devil? As he was carrying out his ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing. Well, Jesus probably was tempted to allow himself to be killed when they wanted to stone him or to spear him or to throw him off a cliff. If he had, he would have saved himself a great deal of pain and suffering and humility on the cross. If he had, he wouldn't have had to take upon himself my sin, your sin. He wouldn't have had to bear the shame of being a sinner, which he was not. So don't you think when the people in Nazareth wanted to throw him off the cliff, he was tempted to let them do it, because this would be a much easier way to return to his Father. But he didn't do it. Because God had prepared him, God had prepared even the human part of Jesus to resist temptation, to be prepared, Jesus was able to say, "It's not my time. It is not yet my hour. My hour has not come." Over and over again, he said, "My hour has not come. My time has not come." If God prepared Jesus for his ministry with temptation, don't you think that God is preparing you for your ministry with temptation? It's something that many Christians have a hard time thinking about, but it's something we need to understand is that everyone in this room has a ministry. Everyone in this room is called to be a witness. Everyone in this room is called to give testimony as to their belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When you are put into a situation where you can do that or not do that, you are tempted to pass it by. You'll even be given rational, logical, smart reasons why it's not a good time to do it. It's a good time maybe to put it off. It's a good time to wait until there's a better moment. You may even quote scripture and say, "I would give my testimony today." You're just talking to yourself, "But my hour has not come." If you do that, my friend, you're deceiving yourself. We need to understand that we live a life of constant temptation. And it's not just temptation to do something bad. It is even a worse temptation than that, is a temptation to not speak up, to not speak out, to not confess your sins, to not declare Jesus as Lord and Savior, to not invite someone into your fellowship, to not do things. The greatest temptation that you and I need to fight is that temptation to do nothing. And doing nothing is as great a sin as doing something bad when we do nothing good. Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days. None of us will ever likely do that, certainly not by choice. Jesus didn't do it by choice. He was led by the Holy Spirit to do it. Every one of us will face temptation. Before this day is out, it will happen. It will happen today. It will happen tomorrow. It will happen every day. The opportunities will come. The opportunities will continue. And we are called to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. As we read in the earlier scripture, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. You must confess with your mouth. Amen.